Good morning. Today's Daf and Sukkah Zion. We get into the Masechta, the established already back in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, that a Sukkah needs to have three walls. So although there has been some controversy regarding that, and yesterday we went over a Shita that the Sukkah needs to have four walls, but the halach is that a Sukkah only needs to have three walls. Not only that, but as we learned on the Brisa yesterday, the third wall doesn't even have to be a full wall. Sufficient if the third wall is just but a tefach. In the Mishnah, we did not learn that. In the Mishnah, I made this observation yesterday. I think it just dawned on me this cycle. But in the Mishnah, the Mishnah just simply says that there's a requirement of three walls. But yesterday, we learned together in the Brisa that there's a halach l'moshe m'sinai, which is that the third wall doesn't have to be a mechitza shleima, doesn't need to be a full wall. Sufficient if it just simply be a tefach. And so now, for the first part of today's daf, we're going to be spending a lot of time detailing exactly how to position that third wall. That third wall is only about a tefach. So does it have to be strategically placed so that it will get the effect of a full wall? That's where we start off our discussion this morning. So where are we going to put that third tefach? When I say third tefach, I really mean third wall, but it only is a tefach, and where are we going to place it? So Amar Rav Ma'amida Keneged Yotzei. Stay tuned. So Amar Rav Ma'amida Keneged Yotzei. So the first opinion of that is ascribed to Rav is that it's going to be Keneged Yotzei. Now again, this is a very visual daf, so I came prepared. I have a lot of pictures with me. So if you have anything that helps you see this, so a picture is going to be invaluable. It really will replace many of my words. So Keneged Yotzei. So basically, what we're going to do is as follows. So we're going to be talking about two walls in a perpendicular structure on a right angle. And then what you're going to do now is that you're going to take the third wall and you're going to put it on either end, right? On either end of the perpendicular, obviously being perpendicular to the wall that it's attached to. Good. So that's Keneged Yotzei. But it could be flush against the either end. So Amri Le Rav Kahana Rav Asi. So the Talmidim said, the Talmidim of Rav are Rav Kahan and Rav Asi, and they say to the Rebbe, the Amidenu Keneged Rosh Tor. So wait one second, I got a better idea, say the Talmidim. And that is, don't put it at the end of the perpendicular. But here's what you should do. You should put it opposite, and not only put it opposite, but put it at an angle. So that means to say that there is an empty corner, obviously with two perpendicular walls. So now we have the empty corner, the empty opposing corner. And so, just one second. And so what we should do now is that we should take the wall and this tefach wall and put it in that empty corner. Not only put in the empty corner, but the Gemara's expression over here is Keneged Rosh Tor. So Rashi goes through, this was a custom in terms of how to plow the field, to leave the field off on a diagonal. Anyway, for our purposes right now, that tefach is going to be at a diagonal. So that means to say that it's not going to be, it's not going to run perpendicular to either wall, but rather it'll be at a 45 degree angle. Again, if you have a picture, it'll be extraordinarily helpful. So basically what you're looking at is that you're looking at two perpendicular walls, and then on the opposing corner, on the empty opposing corner, so you're going to take this tefach wall, and you're basically now going to put it 45 degree angle from the two sides that are incoming.
What are they trying to accomplish?
So what are they trying to accomplish? So Rashi writes over here that the accomplishment is nira, it looks now like you have four walls. Okay? In other words, that this one tefach wall now could basically serve as a, just, obviously, it's not full walls, but it could look like now it's basically filling in the gap, so to say. It's obviously not, but this is what the Talmidim say to Rab.
Yeah, I mean, you have an incomplete triangle as opposed to an incomplete rectangle.
Correct. Agreed. So to which, what was Rav's response? Shasik Rav. So Rav says nothing. Rav looked at this at his Talmidim. He contemplated their suggestion. He didn't respond. And of course, it goes without saying that a lack of response leaves an ambiguity in terms of how did Rav feel about the question. So one way to understand it is that Rav basically said, well, okay, I'm happy you think that. Okay. In other words, that he just simply, he didn't even think it was a reasonable suggestion. Didn't even warrant an answer. That's one way to understand it. The Baal Meor understands it that way. But of course, what you could also understand is that he didn't have an answer, meaning that the suggestion was so good that he just simply didn't have any response to it. Okay, so we don't know. Meaning that, well, I mean, or let's say it better. The Rishonim disagree in terms of what Rav's silence meant in terms of how he felt about the about their suggestion. Itmar Nami, the Gemara continues, and the Amr Shmuel Mishmei Delevi Mami de Keneged Yotzei. So there are a number of other Amoraim who are in agreement with Rav, meaning not the student suggestion of putting it in the empty corner, but put it flush against one of the sides of the perpendicular. So Shmuel says in the name of Levi, that's what you'll do. V'cheimor in Beit Midrash Ma'amidu Keneged Yotzei. And in the Beit Midrash, that's how they paskin. Okay. So far right now, we have one view. Well, I'm going to leave aside right now the Talmidim, but we have one view, and that is that one Tefach, which is going to represent the third wall, so that's going to be Keneged Yotzei, which means that basically it's going to be flush against one of the ends of the perpendicular. Okay. That is one. Rabbi Simon v'item Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Oselot Tefach Shochek u'ma'amid b'chos b'shloshet tefachim samach u'dofen. So now we'll go over a second opinion. That attributed to Rabbi Simon, some say it's Rabbi Shimon Levi, and that is as follows. First of all, the Tefach is not going to be your standard Tefach, but rather it's going to be Tefach Shochek. Tefach Shochek means that it's loose, meaning that a Tefach is your fist. Your fist is usually bunched and tight. So what you're going to do is you're going to take your fingers and you're going to spread them out a little bit. So that means that it's really a little bit more than a tefach. Rashi calls it a tefach umashahu. Good. So now you're going to take this tefach umashahu, and now you're not going to put it flush at the end of one of the walls, but rather what you're going to do is that you're going to put it at a distance. What distance? A little bit less than three tefachim. What does that accomplish? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So ma'amida b'pachos mishosha tefachim samach ledofen, v'chol pachos mishosha samach ledofen, kelav adami. Because now we get to employ the principle of lavud. The principle of lavud, which we've already been introduced to, today we're going to see it a lot, and that is that anything within three tefach in proximity to something else, so the Torah views it as if it's closed up. So the gap now is closed. So what do I have now? I have a tefach, but it's not a tefach. It's really just a little bit more than a tefach. Plus I have that gap, which is just a little bit under three. So a little bit over one plus a little bit under three, so that totals four. So now what do I have? I have, halachically, I have a wall of four. How big does the sukkah need to be? Minimum 7x7 tefachim. So now what I did with this one tefach wall is that halachically I created the majority of a minimum sukkah with that one side. Good. That's what you get with this shita over here.
Well, why not have just two walls going at an angle at each other and there's a three tefachim between the two walls and you got
the Gemara. I understand that. The Gemara right now is trying to navigate, negotiate how exactly to position this one tefach. The Gemara is going to Gemara's going to go through a number of suggestions. This is not the only... So far we've covered two. We're not done.
It's not
loving
on both sides.
No, it's not loving on both sides. The other side just simply...
Open.
Right. And mind you, by the way, that if you go back to your days of Erevin, so we said by Erevin that you have a standalone pole. So generally speaking, we say that Asi Avir Mehai Gisa, Va'avir Mehai Gisa Mevatalei. So here it's no problem. Right. Okay. So Amar Rav Yehuda Sukkah Asuya Kemavui Kshera. Okay. Now, we've been up until this point in time addressing where the two walls are running perpendicular. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what if those two walls are parallel and what do you do under those circumstances. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yehuda Sukkah Asuya Kemavui Kshera. Now, it will be kosher, but obviously we need a third wall. And how are we going to accomplish that? V'oso Tefach Mami D'Lechol Ruch Sheyirtzeh. And so, according to this opinion, when I have the two walls running parallel to one another, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the tefach third wall, and wherever I want. Now, wherever I want means that it's still going to be flush against one of the parallel walls, obviously flush in a perpendicular against one of the parallel walls. So that is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, okay, that's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Not everyone's in agreement.
Why can't you put it?
Wait, one second. Let's first cover. There's a lot to cover today. So tefach ma'amid l'chol ruch shirtze. Rabbi Simon v'temer Rabbi Shimon Levi Amer osel apas arba mashu ma'amid apachus mishosha samach ledofen v'chol apachus mishosha samach ledofen b'kalav adami. So according to Rabbi Simon, quoted in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, look, if I have the two parallel walls, so now in order to create a third wall, a tefach is simply insufficient. But rather, what you're going to have to do is the following. You're going to take a slat, a wooden slat of four tefachim wide, and you're going to put it proximate to one of the walls, again, on a perpendicular, within three tefachim of that. So now you take four, and you're going to put it just under three next to one of the ends of the wall. So now what we have is 7 tfachim. Again, that creates the minimum length of a kosher sukkah. Now, it sounds like that there could be any distance whatsoever from the end of the fourth slat to the other wall. Certainly sounds that way. But over here, you just simply need more. That's the point of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So now, if we can take our Rav Simon, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, and now let's put side by side his perpendicular and his parallel. In his perpendicular, he said a tefach is sufficient. Now, granted, by the way, that he requires that tefach wall to be just a little bit over a tefach and put it within 3 tefachim of the end of the one of the perpendicular walls, but a tefach is sufficient. When dealing with the parallel, no, that's not enough. You have to have a 4 tefach wall and put it within 3 tefachim. And the Gemara's question over here is Mishnah. Simple question. So for Rabbi Simon, for Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, so why is the perpendicular and the parallel cases different? The answer is very obvious. The Gemara spells it out. Umayshnah, hasam dekamar tzagi tefach shocheg. Umayshnah, hacha dekamar bypass arba'a. Sorry. First the Gemara articulates the question. Now the Gemara answers. Hasam dekash de defanos keochasam sagale betefach shocheg. Hacha delekash de defanos iika pas arba'a ini lalo. And the answer, basically, the Gemara says is, well, just look at it. In other words, when I have the perpendicular, so I already have I have 2 walls. And because they are contiguous, so therefore, all I need is just a little bit more. In other words, there's a halacha moshemisina, we start off with the fact that there needs to be a 3rd wall. The halacha moshemisina tells me that it could be even a tefach. Okay. And where am I going to place the tefach? So again, according to Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, I'll put it near the edge of one of the ends. All right. Again, when I say near, I mean within 3 tefachim. But okay, good. But now I have 2 plus 1. But when it comes to the parallel, so the parallel already starts at a deficit because in the case of the parallel walls, they're not touching each other. So yes, there are 2 walls, but they're not contiguous. And so therefore, in order to create a 3rd wall, I simply need more. Okay. The Gemara says that's the difference. All right. Amar Rava. We're not done. Meaning the Gemara is still going to continue its discussion regarding how to make a 3rd wall. Amar Rava, we're going to now have not one, not 2, but 3 versions of what Rava says. Okay. Amar Rava, ve'ena interesel b'tzuras ha-pesach. Now, in terms of this 3rd wall, so how does it become mutter? It becomes mutter through a tzuras ha-pesach. Now, in version number 1 of Rava, he says that you need to make it tzuras pesach. So Rashi's understanding over here is the following. I'm going to take my tefach wall. Remember, the 3rd wall, halach l'moshim misina, only needs to take a tefach. So now I'm going to take my tefach wall and I'll simply break it into 2. Each piece now being a half a tefach. What I will then do is put 1 half tefach flush against the end of one of the perpendiculars. I'll have the other half tefach on the other side. I'll have some sort of thin wire, pole, whatever on top. That is in halacha is referred to as a tzuras ha-pesach, and that now will create the 3rd wall. So in version number 1 of Rava, so the way that the tefach is actually going to be made into a 3rd wall is via the mechanism of tzuras ha-pesach. Okay? That's version number 1 of Rava. Version number 2. Igadami amarava viniteros nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. In version number 2, it can be either or. Meaning, how am I going to make a 3rd wall? Either I'll use a tefach, or I'll use tzuras ha-pesach. So that's version number 2. Version number 2 is either or. Igadami in version number 3, Amar Rava Vitzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach. In version number 3, so it's also and. So that means to say that in order to create the 3rd wall, I'm going to need a tefach, and on top of that, I'm also going to need Tzuras HaPesach as well. Okay, and the way Rashi understands it, and it will become pretty evident in the upcoming Gemara, is that that in version number 3 of Rava, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a tefach, not flush against the wall, but again, within 3 tefachim of the wall, and I'm on top of that, I'm going to create a tzuras ha-pesach on top of that in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And now halachically, I have wall going all the way across. Okay, so there are now 3 versions of Rava in terms of how to take that tefach wall and turn it into the 3rd wall. In version number 1, just a quick recap, in version number 1 of Rava, so you take the tefach wall, you simply break it into two. Saw table probably would be very helpful. And now you put it on the 2 ends of that 3rd wall and with a kana on top of it. It's called the Tzuras HaPesach. But Tzuras HaPesach with the understanding that you still need a full tefach of actual material. In version number two of Rava, so it's going to be either or. Either you use the tefach, like see above, or we're going to use the Tzuras HaPesach. But Tzuras HaPesach in the standard classic way, which means that I just simply need a pole on one side, a pole on the other side, and something going over the top. But the poles don't have to be a half of a tefach. In version number three, the conjunction is and. I need a tefach and I need a Tzuras HaPesach in order to create halachic wool going all the way across. Okay, now, Rav Ashkech, Rav Kahana, Dekavit Tefach Shochek, Vekavit Tzuras HaPesach. Now, Rav Ashi finds Rav Kahana, and he does version number three of Rava. In other words, he does the Tefach and he does the Tzuras HaPesach as well. So, Amalei Lo Sefer Ma'ala Hadar Rava, Damar Rava, Miniteres Nami B'Tzuras HaPesach. So he says, well, I have a tradition of what Rava said. My tradition of Rava said is not and, but either or. You can do a tefach or you can do Tzuras HaPesach, meaning version number two. So Amalei Anaki Dechlishon de Rava Svirli, Damar Rava Tzricha Nami Tzuras HaPesach. And Rav Kahana's response is very simple. That's not my version. My version of Rava is version number three. I maintain that Rava says that you need a tefach and you need a Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, so if your head is spinning at this point in time, it's perfectly understandable. The Gemara now has went through a lot of variations, permutations of what that third wall is going to look like. We know the Halacha Moshe Misina says that it could be a tefach, which means that it does not have to be a full wall. How exactly to place that third wall? Where exactly to place that third wall? Do I need in conjunction with that third wall another halachic mechanism, i.e. a Tzuras HaPesach? So that was the Gemara, and I know we did it really quickly, but the Gemara now just tried on a lot of different positions in terms of how exactly to put that third wall as your sukkah. Okay.
How do you place your frame.
You use some sort of frame. Okay. Okay. The Gemara that we're about to go through is going to be a little bit difficult, admittedly. But the idea, however, is simple. And the idea of the upcoming Gemara is that, look, we have a walls requirement as it relates to Sukkah. We just learned them together. We have wall requirements in terms of a Rishus Yachid on Shabbos. Okay? To create a Rishus Yachid on Shabbos, so you need an enclosure of three walls. Okay, let's say it right now simply. Okay, there is room to discuss whether you need a fourth wall, but right now, just to say nice and simple, let's say you need three walls in order to create a Rishus Yachid for Shabbos. Now we know that for every Sukkot is a 7-day experience, and we know that every Sukkot is going to have a Shabbos. And so the discussion that we're about to have is super interesting, although again, a little bit complicated. And that is that on Sukkah, for the structure of Sukkah, so that we have one set of halachas in terms of what makes a Sukkah, and for Shabbos and Rishus Yachid, we also have a set of rules and regulations in terms of what makes a structure. Can I take my Sukkah on Sukkahs, which qualifies as a Sukkah, and borrow the halachas of what makes a Sukkah in order to make it also a Rishus Yachid for Shabbos? Even though for Shabbos, it may not qualify as a Rishus Yachid. But can I say that since it works Lagabi Sukkah, it also is going to work as a Rishus Yachid for Shabbos? And then the Gemara is going to go the other direction as well. Can I say that something is a Rishus Yachid for Shabbos? Can I then say, well, since it works for Shabbos, it's also going to work for Sukkah as well? Now, the principle over here that we're using is basically Migu. Migu is that since it works over here, therefore it should work over there as well. And that's the Gemara's discussion. And we're going to go over this in three different ways in terms of how we're going to use the halachas of one and just simply apply to the other. Let's go. Amar Rava v'chein l'Shabbos. So Rava says that v'chein l'Shabbos, it works for Shabbos. Why? Migu da havidofen l'inyan sukkah, havidofen l'inyan Shabbos. Okay, since it's a dofen for sukkah, it's going to be a dofen also for Shabbos as well. And Rashi over here illustrates. Look, we just learned together in the first part of today's daf that the third wall of a sukkah does not need to be much. It just simply needs to be a tefach. Yes, we had just a lengthy discussion. We just concluded in terms of where exactly to place the tefach. But for our purposes right now, it doesn't matter. The point is that that third wall is merely just but a tefach, and yet legabi sukkah, it is now a structure. It qualifies as a sukkah. So now on Shabbos Chol HaMoed or Shabbos Yontif, wherever Shabbos falls down in sukkah. So, but on the Shabbos of sukkah, since it works legabi sukkah, we're going to say now that it works legabi Shabbos as well. Now, if it were just Shabbos by itself, would two walls and a tefach make for a Rishos Yachid? The answer is no. Categorically no. In other words, for Shabbos, I need three walls. And those three walls need to be Amud Meruba ala parts. I need more physical wall than actual airspace. So, Legabi Shabbos, if it were it's just a standalone Shabbos, and Sukkot had played no part of it, so then we would have said very clearly, it's not a Rishos Yachid. However, because it's Sukkot, and because today it qualifies as a Sukkah, so now the Gemara is telling us a tremendous chiddush, and that is that it also is going to qualify as a Rishos Yach Legabi Shabbos. Rashi illustrates that, let's say, this sukkah on Shabbos was flush against the house, obviously with an opening going into the house. So what you're allowed to do that Shabbos is that even though the structure of the sukkah itself is made up only of two walls, and that third wall is but only a tefach, still what you're allowed to do now on this Shabbos is that you're allowed to carry from your house into the sukkah, from the sukkah back into the house. Even though had it been any other Shabbos, you would not be allowed to do that. Okay. Now, right? Okay, let's leave it right there. So v'chein l'Shabbos. I'm sorry, I'm reading it again. Migu da havi dofelin in sukkah, havi dofelin in Shabbos. Eitzve Abaye, umi amrin amigu. So Abaye says to Rabba, and I don't think that's correct. I don't think we say migu. Now Abaye bases his question based on a braisa, which we're about to learn. V'atanya, the braisa says, dofen sukkah k'dofen Shabbos. So the wall of sukkah is like the wall of Shabbos of Avad, shelo yeh ben kan l'chaver shel shetvachim. Okay. In other words, if you want to make now a halachic wall using the principle of Lavud and have a pole next to a pole next to a pole, provided that the space between each pole is less than three tfachim, so Lavud now closes the gap between each one of them, and now you have a halachic wall. That works for it works for sukkah, it works for Shabbos.
Why isn't that not a gezerah on top of
gezerah? No, we're saying it's fine. We haven't gotten to the question yet. The Gemara is saying that's fine. If you want to make lavud using horizontal, that's also fine. Meaning that you have a rope within three tefachim of the ground. You have a rope above that within three tefachim of the ground. And that also now, and one more on top of that. And that also now is going to create a halachic wall using the mechanism of lavud. You want to do that for Shabbos? Great. You want to do that for sukkah? That's also great. Okay. So far, so good. Here's where we get to Abaye's question based on this part of the braisa. V'yisera Shabbos al sukkah, but you know what? Shabbos has a chumra over that of sukkah. Shah Shabbos ain't any teres el abam and merubah laparutz. Masha ain't came b'sukkah. Ah. But when it comes to Shabbos, so I need more physical wall than airspace. Okay, that's the halacha of omed merubah al haparutz. We discussed it extensively back in Erevin. So that is in order to create a rishos yachid for Shabbos. However, when it comes to sukkah, it clearly is not the case. I don't need more wall than airspace. How do I know that? As Rashi points out over here, let's consider. I have the base minimum sukkah, which is two walls plus a tefach. Okay. If that were the case, I would have more wall than airspace, but Rashi says, but you can obviously carve out entrances even on the two walls, and so then you'll have doorways on the two walls. So if I take the almost two empty walls and I add to that all the doorway airspaces as well, we're going to have parutz meruba ala omed. We're going to have more airspace than wall. When I take the sum total of the entire structure, by sukkah, that's fine. By Shabbos, it's not acceptable. Good. That's what the Braisa says. What Abaye is thinking now is that the Braisa is describing not just any sukkah, but even a sukkah, even on Shabbos. And if that's a correct understanding of the Braisa, now it comes out that we don't say the principle of Migu. If we would have said the principle of Migu, so since it works Lagabi sukkah, it should work Lagabi Shabbos as well. But right now, Abaye is thinking that the Braisa is talking about a sukkah even on Shabbos. And the Gemara articulates exactly this point. My love, Yisera Shabbos, a sukkah, a sukkah, velo amin amigu. Isn't that the correct shot in the Braisa? So the Gemara says, no. Lo, Yisera Shabbos, a amal Shabbos, a sukkah. No, the Braisa is just simply doing a general contrast between the structure of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos versus the structure of a sukkah. but not when they overlap, because when they overlap, then we get to say the principle of migul. So ihachi lisninam yisera sukkah dama sukkah de Shabbos. So the Gemara says, really? So if what we're learning together is that there's a principle of migul, you know, we can go in both directions. De'ilu sukkah da'ama by tefach shochek. Consider. When it comes to a sukkah, when it comes to a sukkah, so when I have the parallel wall structure, so what do we say? So we said earlier today that I need a tefach shochek. I need a wide tefach. And I need to put it within three tefachim of the wall. The ilu sukkah de Shabbos, but when it comes to sukkah of Shabbos, lo bai tefach shochek v'sagi balechi. So, and meanwhile, for Shabbos, so what would make a reshus yachid on Shabbos if I have two parallel walls? And on top of that, I also have, and I have a roof on top. So two parallel walls with a roof on top. So the only thing now I need is just simply a lechi, just simply a pole extending on either end. And now we have a reshus yachid. Now, granted, and Rashi makes this point, granted that works min haTorah, mid rabbanan is insufficient, but still, the point is that since min haTorah, it's a reshus yachid, so why don't we now say that that should qualify for a sukkah as well? The ha'atu damar, because you said, sichich ha'mavui sheish lechi, if I put tzchach on top of a mavui over here means two parallel walls, it's a mavui mafulash, and it has a lechi on either side, kasher, and that would be acceptable. So the Gemara is basically saying like this. Look, you're telling me that we have this principle of migul, that since it works as a structure legabe sukkah, it also is going to work as a structure legabe Shabbos. Good. So once we use the principle of migul, so in that direction, so why doesn't the Braisa then articulate and say that we can also go in the other direction as well? Meaning that if it becomes a structure legabe Shabbos, it should also be a structure legabe sukkah as well. That's his question. The answer is, how low it's terichle. You know why the Braisa didn't teach me that? It's obvious. Why? It's obvious because consider the following. Look, if I'm now saying that because it's a sukkah in Hilcha Sukkah, it now will also double as a structure Lagabi Shabbos, even though in general it wouldn't work as a structure Lagabi Shabbos. So we're going from what qualifies as a structure for sukkah and extending that to Shabbos, which is more chamor, sukkah or Shabbos? It's a no-brainer. Shabbos obviously is more chamor. Shabbos carries with it an onish misa. It's skila. It's a capital crime to violate Shabbos. Sukkah is a mitzvah sese. It's a positive commandment. Okay? So it goes without saying. If a structure for sukkah can double as a structure for Shabbos, then it goes without saying that a structure for Shabbos can double as a structure for sukkah. That's why the Braisa just simply didn't need me to teach me this information. We would have figured it out on our own. Gufa. The Gemara says, okay, and now, so let's go over a couple more examples of this idea. That basically, if it works in one arena, so then I can carry it over to the other arena. So the Gemara says, Gufa Maravas, we turn now to the top of the Amud Beis. Sichech agabe mavui, shieshlo lechi kshera. Okay, now I know we just went over this, but now we're saying it formally. And that is that if I put schach on top of a mavui over here just simply means two parallel walls. And now, on the end, what do? I put a lechi. So it would be kosher. Kosher what? In other words, you don't, the third wall isn't the tefach. Yeah, exactly. But we're talking over here now on Shabbos. Obviously, I didn't make the structure on Shabbos itself. It just simply means that I made it for Shabbos. And now, since the Gabi Shabbos, it's considered now a Rishus, it's considered now its own independent structure, an independent domain. So since it works Lagabi Shabbos, it's also going to work Lagabi Sukkah as well. Okay. V'amar Abba, one more of these examples. Sichach Agabi Pasei Be'ra'os. So what do I have? I have four brackets and four corners. Each one of the brackets extends in each direction, one Amma. This is what's called Pasei Be'ra'os. The second parak of Erevin, we discussed this extensively. And for Ole Regalim, for those making Aliyah L'Regal, so on their way to Yerushalayim, they're going to stop on Shabbos. They have to stop for Shabbos. And now they want to stop by a water source. They want to be able to draw water from the water source. They want to create a Rishus Yachid, a makeshift Rishus Yachid. So what you can do, a special allowance given by the Chachamim, is that you could put four brackets and four corners. Again, there's a spacing issue in terms of what the space is between the brackets. But for our purposes right now, let's just say it simply, and that works now as a Rishus Yachid. So since that works as a Rishus Yachid Legabi Shabbos, so now if I take my four brackets and put Tzchach on top of it, so for that Shabbos Sukkah, it also now will qualify as a Sukkah as well. Good. So Ksheru Tzricha. So now, how many crossover halachas have we learned together? Three. We learned three crossover halachas. One we did in terms of crossing over from Sukkah to Shabbos, meaning on Shabbos Sukkahs, I have two walls and a tefach. Since it works like Gabi Sukkah, it's also going to work like Gabi Shabbos. And now I had two crossover halachas that go from Shabbos to Sukkah. One being the Mavui Mefulash with a Lechi on its end, where there, Legabi Shabbos, it's a Rishus, so therefore Legabi Sukkah, it's going to be a Sukkah. And on top of that, the one we just went through, and that's Paseh Beiraus, where I have the four brackets in the four corners. Since it works as a Rishus Legabi Shabbos, it's going to work Legabi Sukkah. Good. Three examples of Migu. The Gemara says, why three? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why three. So, Utsricha. Because look, if all I gave you was the example of the Mavui Mefulash, so there I actually have two physical walls. Okay, we're only one. But Devana's name alone. Now, in the case of the Paseh Beiraus, so what do I have? So I have four walls. Now, again, I don't really have four walls, but at least I have the brackets extending in four directions. Okay, so at least I have the appearance of four walls. In the Mavui Mefulash, I don't have that. I have two parallel walls, and I only have a Lechi. So if I would have known the case of the Paseh Beiraus, I wouldn't necessarily have known about the case of the Mavui. Now, Iashmina Nani Tarti. Now, if you gave me these two cases, so then Mechamirta Lakilta, Vamakilta Lachamirta, I'm alone. So, So to go from Shabbos to Sukkah, that's not such a big leap. In other words, if it's a Rishus Lagabi Shabbos, so then I can easily extend that to Sukkah. However, to go from Sukkah to Shabbos, that's a huge leap. In other words, since it qualifies for a Sukkah, it also is going to qualify for Shabbos. And the carryover now is from Kal to Chamor, Sukkah being Kal, Shabbos obviously being Chamor. So that's a huge leap. That's why I need that case as well. So Tzricha, so that's why I need all three cases. Okay. So what we just went through, admittedly, a tough piece of Gemara, but conceptually, right, a beautiful piece of Gemara. In that, what you're allowed to do is take the laws, Legabi Sukkah, and now, since it qualifies Legabi Sukkah, it also, for that Shabbos, is going to qualify as a Rishus for Shabbos. And we also can go in the other direction as well. To go from Sukkah to Shabbos is a bigger leap, but the Gemara says, but we can do it. In other words, we can jump in both directions. Okay. Ask me after, and I will for sure go over it after. Okay. Shechamta Meruba Mitzota Psula. Okay. Let us now go through... let's go through the next piece of Gemara, which is going to deal with not too much sunlight. In other words, what you need, the Mishnah told us, is that I need more shade than sunlight. So as you put the schach, layer the schach on top, so it has to be enough substance, enough material, so that it provides more shade than sunlight. Okay. Shchantam ruba mitzot apsula. Tan rabbanan chantam machmasichuch v'la machmasdefanos. So... what do I have to take into consideration? Only the schach, but not the walls. What do I mean? So here in Florida, right, many have this, myself included, and that I got plenty of sun coming into the sukkah. Why? Because I want a breeze, and so my walls go up right, more than 10 tefachim, but they don't go up to the schach. And so what I have now is plenty of opportunity for the sun to come in through the walls. So what we're learning together now in the Gemara is that doesn't matter. Meaning you pay no attention to the sun coming in through the walls. In terms of the halacha that I need more shade than sun, the only thing that I have to regard is the schach. And I don't have to regard the walls. Or let's say you make your sukkah out of something that is see-through, right? You make glass walls. So now you're having plenty of sun come in. The point is that at least according to the Tanakhama, You pay no mind to that. In other words, this halacha that I need more shade than sun is only a schach halacha. So, and Rav Yoshi Amar Af Machmas Stefanos, and Rav Yoshi says no, that's not correct. Rav Yoshi disagrees. He says that in terms of having more shade than sun, not only do I have to pay attention to the schach, I also have to pay attention to the walls as well. Meaning that the whole structure of the sukkah has to provide me more shade than sun. Okay, so it's a machlokas then. Right. Generally speaking, when you have a machlokes between the Tanakhama and one Tana, so we follow the shita of the Chachamim, not that of the Tana. Amar Rav Yemer Bar Shamayim Mishmeda by my Tama de Rav Yoshia. And what's the reason behind Rav Yoshia? The pasuk says Vesakosel Aaron Saparoches. So we have a pasuk describing the paroches. Now the paroches obviously is a vertical wall, right? It's what separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mishkan. And meanwhile, the Torah's usage over here is the word visakosa. So parochas mechitzahi, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. The parochas is really a vertical wall, the kakari rechmana schacha. And meanwhile, the Torah describes it as a schach. So ama mechitza beschach beinan. So that means to say that the mechitzas are going to be providing the same function of that of the schach, i.e. shade. That's the drasha for Rabbi Yoshia. V'rabbanan, now the chachamim will look at Rabbi Yoshia and will say to Rabbi Yoshia, no, how would the nake of Beporta de Mechzik Ischach? No. The only thing the Torah is instructing me over there when it comes to the paroches is that when you get to the top, so bend it over a little bit. I'm not sure which direction, into the Kodesh or into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but bend it over a little bit so that, okay, a little bit on the top, it's going to have a little sukkah action. But in other words, it doesn't mean that the walls have to do the same thing as the schach. The walls are the walls. The schach is the schach. They're two separate entities. Okay. And it goes without saying that the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Yoshia. The halacha falls like the chachamim, that you can have sun coming in from the side. This requirement of more shade than sun is only by the schach, not by the walls. Amar Abaye, finishing up the daf. What Abaye is going to do, and he does this often throughout Shas. Okay. No promises, but one time I'm going to document, or at least try to catalog. All right, I have Bar Ilan, so you know it's not that crazy. How many times Abaye does this throughout Shas? But right now, right, suffice to say that he does this often, and that what he does is that he wants to see a thread going through Shitas Tanayim, right? A theme alert, if you will. So he sees a certain theme that runs through the Tanayim. So Abaye basically now threads them together so that we have a theme amongst many Tanayim. What he's going to do is he's going to give a pretty extensive collection of Tanayim who all are of the opinion that the sukkah needs to be a more permanent structure. Now, the list is going to be a little bit confusing, and Tosos makes this point, in that these Tanayim that he's stringing together, they don't necessarily agree with one another. Okay, so even though he's making he's grouping, it's not to say that they're all literally on the same page. They are literally on the same page of today's daf, but they're not all in perfect alignment and agreement to one another. But at least thematically, they all say that the sukkah needs to be more of a permanent structure. Now, I know, by the way, that goes against what we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, right? And Dav Bezim and Aleph, right? Why can a sukkah not be more than 20 amos? So the explanation given is because one of the explanations, there are three in total, but one of the explanations is say Midiras Keva, leave your permanent structure and go into a Diras Arayim, go into a temporary structure. Okay, so it happens to be that one of the Tanayim that he's going to string together amongst these many Tanayim is going to be Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a sukkah could be above 20 amos. Okay, good.
That means it's a Diras Arayim that can be used like a Diras
Keva. But not, in other words, no, we're not saying Pshat in the Tanakhama. In other words, he's saying that Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Dira could be a Diras Keva. And not only is it Rabbi Yehuda, it's many other Tanayim as well. I'm Rabbi Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshe, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Lazar, V'acherim. Okay, that's a pretty good list. So Kulu Svirlu Sukkah Diras Keva Be'inan. So that those Tanayim are all the position that the Sukkah is going to be a more permanent structure. Rabbi D'Tanya, Rabbi's of the opinion. Rabbi Amar Kol Sukkah Shein Ba'arba Amos Al Arba Amos Psula. So Shitas Rabbi, which we already saw earlier in our Masechta, says that a Sukkah has to be minimum 4x4 Amos. Now, obviously, we learned together numerous times that the halacha is that it doesn't have to be 4x4 amos. It has to be 7x7 tvachim, significantly smaller. But that's exactly the point. Rebbe, who holds that, has to be bigger because he's of the position that the structure has to be more permanent. Right.
It's really a dealer's sarai, but it's made that you could
okay, use good. It like... Fine. Okay, fine. That's fine. Good. So, Rabbi Yoshia Hadamaran. Rabbi Yoshia, we just got done saying, remember Rabbi Yoshia said that the shade has to be provided not only by the schach, but by the walls also. So, okay, again, speaks to this idea. It has to be a more permanent structure. Rabbi Yehuda, the non-sukkah shi'igavon, l'malam echafam apsil, Rabbi Yehuda ma'akshir, shitas Rabbi Yehuda that we learned in our first daf, first Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda allows the sukkah to be higher than 20 amos. Why? Because, again, he's of the position that it could be a more permanent structure. Rabbi Shimon d'Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Amar Gimel Kechasam V'Dala Afilo Tefach. The sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which we also saw earlier in our Masechta, sukkah has to be made up of four walls. Why four walls? Again, because it has to be a more permanent structure. Rabbi Gamliel d'Tanya Osin Sukkah Barosha Gala Barosha Sfina. Rabbi Gamliel posted Rabbi Kiva Machshir. Let's say you make your sukkah as a transportable sukkah. So a portable sukkah, you put it on a boat. You put it on a wagon. So Rabbi Gamliel says it's no good. Why? It's not permanent enough. If you could just simply wheel it down the road, okay, or move it on your boat. Beit Shammai did not. What about Shitas Beit Shammai? Mishai Yerosha Veruba Besukah Veshachan Besukah Bais. Beit Shammai Posim Beisil Machshirin. Beit Shammai is of the position that your sukkah has to be big enough not only for you, but also for a table as well. Beisil says, no, just has to be big enough for you. You don't need a table in there. So that Shita Beit Shammai, that you need a table in there because it needs to be a more permanent structure. Now, again, I'm going to highlight. This is Tosus's point, which is that even though Abai just strung together all these Tanaim, they don't all agree with one another, meaning consider what we just saw. Beit Shammai says that the sukkah is a more permanent structure. Why? Because it needs a table. Meanwhile, according to Beit Shammai, what's the minimum size of a sukkah? 7x7 tefachim. Meanwhile, also in this group of Tanaim is Rebbe. And Rebbe says that a minimum sukkah is 4x4 amos. He doesn't agree with Beit Shammai. Okay, so... Same point, just, you know, showing it, highlighting that these Tanayim, are, according to Abaye, are trending towards the same direction, that the sukkah has to be more permanent, but they don't necessarily agree with one another. Rabbi Elazar, the nanosa sukkah, commits rifo, o shesamcha lakosel, Rabbi Elazar posel, lefi she'en logag, v'chachamim machshirim. Let's say you make your sukkah like a hut. Okay, and like a hut over here means that basically it's a cone. Okay, again, if you have a picture, it's wonderful. So it's really hard to differentiate between the walls and the schach. All right, or let's say you take your schach and you just simply lean it against the wall. So now that triangular sukkah is gonna, in other words, that is going to serve both as a wall and a schach. Where does the wall end? Where does the schach begin? Wonderful question. Rebbe Elazar says, because I really cannot differentiate, so therefore it's no good. The Chachamim say it's kosher. Okay, and for the Chachamim, we would need to answer, where does the wall end, where does the schach begin? But the idea is that, again, this is a biased thesis, is that the basis of the Shita of Rebbe Elazar is it's just simply, it's not permanent enough. It's not a permanent structure. Acherim d'tanya, one more. Acherim amim sukkah asuya kishovach psula. Let's say you make a circular sukkah. So according to the Acherim, so a circular sukkah is no good. Why? No corners. If it doesn't have corners, you can't really call it a structure. I know our shul is circular. Right. Okay. We don't. In other words, as we'll see in tomorrow's daf, we don't pass on like the Acherim. But okay. Okay. So that was a biasesis. We just put together all these Tanaim who all are of the position that the sukkah has to be more of a structure. Okay, let's recap. That was a visually demanding daf today. So let's quickly recap our daf. We started on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, in which we learned that the third wall could be a tefach. How to position that third wall? We started with the shita of Rav, who says that the third wall could just simply be on a perpendicular sukkah, where you have two walls in a perpendicular perpendicular configuration. So you simply take the third wall and you put it flush against one of the ends of the of either of the two walls, and that will serve now as your dofen shlishi, as your mechitza shlishi, your third wall. That shita Rav, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi or Rabbi Simon says no. That the third wall has to go It has to be placed. First of all, it has to be a tefach shochek. It has to be a little bit more than a tefach, placed just under three tefachim of either end. And then you have now four halachic walls, which is the majority of a minimum sukkah of seven tefachim. So now you're going to have a kosher third wall. So you have a basic machlokas amongst the Amoraim. The Gemara then also described, what if my two walls are not running perpendicular, but rather parallel? So how does that get, how do we make the third wall over there? That too is subject to a machlokas amongst the Amoraim. One position is that you just simply take a tefach and run it perpendicular to either one of the ends of the walls. And again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi or Rabbi Simon says, no, that here you're going to need to take a panel of four tefachim, put it within three tefachim of one of the ends. The Gemara notes that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi on the perpendicular only requires one tefach, and meanwhile on the parallel requires four tefachim of actual wall. What's the difference? The Gemara says it's different. Then we had three versions of Rava in terms of the intersection of the halachas of the tefach shlishi and Suras HaPesach. And we have three different versions. And quickly, to succinctly review, in version number one, you're going to take your tefach wall, break it into two pieces, and put them at the two ends of that third wall, and put a kana on top of it, and you're going to have now not just a Suras HaPesach, but a super Suras HaPesach. Okay, thank you. Generally speaking, Suras HaPesach only requires just a mashu, a kolshehu. In terms of the post, over here, you have a half tefach on the post. In version number two, so it's either you could use a tefach, presumably tefach shochek, but not sure about that, or you use a tzuras pesach in the classic sense. And the third way to explain Rava is that it's and. I need a tefach and I need a tzuras pesach as well. Okay. Those are the three versions of Rava. We then went into a really fascinating sugya and a difficult sugya regarding migu, that if the halachas of sukkah tells me it's a structure, and it's chol hamoed or Shabbos yantiv, so when now I can not only view it as a structure legabi sukkah, I can also view it as a structure as a rishus yachid legabi Shabbos. That's the principle of migu, and it works in both directions. It works from Shabbos to sukkah, and it works well. Let's start off. It works from sukkah to Shabbos. And it works from Shabbos to Sukkah as well. And as the Gemara pointed out, the easier jump to make is to go from Shabbos to Sukkah, right. But it works also in the other direction as well, to go from Sukkah to Shabbos. On the leap from Shabbos to Sukkah, the Gemara gave us two examples where we're going to have crossover. The example of Mavui Mefulosh with a lechi at the end, a Mavui Mefulosh with roofing. So all I need now is a lechi, and Legabi Shabbos, it's a Rishus Yachid. So now we can take that and use that for a sukkah on the Shabbos of Sukkah. Similarly, Pase Beiraus, four brackets in the four corners. Now, Legabi Shabbos, that works as a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Now, if I put Schach on top of that, that's also going to now work as a sukkah as well on the Shabbos of Sukkahs. Good. So those are the examples of crossover for the halachas of Sukkah to the halachas of Shabbos. And then finally, the last thing, no, not yet. Right, penultimate. The second last thing that we did is the halacha of the Mishnah that I need more shade than sun, so that I only have to take into account the schach, not the walls. I can have plenty of sun coming in from the side, no problem whatsoever. This requirement of more shade than sun is only a schach halacha, and I could totally disregard the walls. Now, it happens to be that Rav Yoshi disagrees. He says that the requirement of the shade has to come both from the schach and from the walls itself. Good. And then finally, the last thing that we covered this morning is Abaye's thesis. So Abaye has a thesis that there are numerous Tanayim. What was the number? About six? I didn't count. So but there are about a half a dozen Tanayim who all are of the position that your sukkah has to be a more permanent structure. And we went through each one of the Tanayim, and in specific to their particular position, it demonstrates that they require more of a sukkah's keva.